kind, gentle creatures that can only hurt one another by accident. He says, then there are wolves. The wolves will feed on the sheep. They're the sociopaths. They're the criminals. He says, and then there are sheepdogs. The sheep are a little leery of the sheepdog. He wanders around, checks the perimeter every night, and barks at the moon. He would never turn his teeth on the flock, but he yearns for a righteous battle. When the wolf comes around, nothing else will do, and the entire flock is sitting there trying to hide behind one lonely sheepdog as he faces down the wolves. We're talking about a creature who is capable of confronting and dealing with combat and sustaining themselves across the long haul. The goal becomes to be a sheepdog, to be a warrior, to be the one that is ready to respond to the threats when the time arises.
Welcome to Blue Justice Radio. I'm your host, David. And as always, Blue Justice is brought to you by LESMA, Law Enforcement and Supporters for Media Accountability, and brought to you live and in the archive on Blog Talk Radio. So today we have a great guy calling in. I absolutely love this man, Eric Potts, comedian, retired law enforcement, a wealth of knowledge, a great humanitarian, and an awesome friend. Really stoked to have him on today's show. What we're going to talk about, I really don't know. I wanted to get him on because we haven't had him on in a while, and I really do enjoy the flow when he's on and the conversation, so there you go, have at it. That's what we're going to do. So anyone interested in calling in and speaking to him or speaking to me, feel free to do so. It's going to be 347-850-8154. You can ask him or I or Amanda any questions you want. So let's just go with that. Amanda, yes, I was just going to ask you if we have him on and can get him on. So please connect him.
He's here. Welcome, Mr. Potts.
Hey, guys. Hey, David. How are you? Amanda, how are you?
I'm doing great, Eric. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I got a little bit of touch of a sore throat and a cold, so I apologize for my voice today.
No problem. That's got to suck. I hope you're not on any tours right now, are you?
I got a show this weekend. I don't start my West Coast tour until the end of the month, so I got time to recover before that starts. So.
There you go. That's good. Now listen, you have anything you want to, before we get rolling and talking, anything you want to throw out there to anyone, any big shows? Where are you going to be this weekend, actually?
I'm going to be in the Milton Theater, headlining the Milton Theater in Milton, Delaware, Friday night.
Delaware.
I don't even know who I'm with. I'm with Keith Purnell. I know he's hosting, but I forget who the middle comic is. That's pretty sad. I don't remember who it is.
Well, listen, let's face it, they're probably there for you anyway.
Oh, I don't know about that, but I mean, it's somebody I never worked with before. I've never even heard of him, so this will be the first time I'm meeting the guy, so I look forward to that. But that's it, and then the end of the month I'm going on the Southwest tour. I'll be in Nevada. I'll be in New Mexico, Arizona, those areas. Then I'll do Ohio, Western Pennsylvania, then we're doing Virginia and Florida and Georgia, so that ought to be fun.
Oh, absolutely. Sounds great. All right, so we got that out of the way. Now let me ask you something. I had a report today. I don't know if you heard or if you saw on the page or any of the other pages. We had our 18th line of duty death so far this year. Can you imagine that? 18.
He was a state trooper from New Jersey. I mean, right here. I mean, not too far from where I live. It happened. You know, it's another instance where people are failing to move the hell over. When you see a car in an accident, you see emergency lights. Get over in that left lane and slow the hell down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's another, Jesus Christ. It's, you know, I don't know exactly what happened. I heard they're not summoning the driver. They didn't arrest the driver. You know, clearly it was an accident. But there are rules in place for that reason. And, you know, maybe it's part of our problem because when these happen, our supervisors aren't making the call to say the hell with it, lock them up. You know, but yeah, here's another guy just doing his job, right? And certainly not expecting, you know, no one's expecting to go out this way. It's just a damn shame.
Right. It was apparently it was a car fire on the side of the road. Now I understand how you know, you can get distracted while you're looking at this fire as you're driving by it, but that's obviously the worst thing you can do. And especially if you are distracted by that, you know, if you're driving that fast to be able to cause a fatality to somebody, you shouldn't be looking at the fire to begin with. I mean, I understand accidents happen, and it's a shame, but as you said, 18 line of duty deaths, 12 of those by gunfire, is unbelievable.
Absolutely. You know, and that's not even, you know, you think about it, realistically, that's not all that affects our community. I mean, these figures, you're not even tying in, you know, canine deaths. You're not tying in, you know, I believe there's one other, there was one or two other incidents. Actually, no, there were probably more, but, you know, you have other officers we've lost, you know, from battles with cancer and whatnot, that while, by the way, while still active, you know, I know there were several reported, the retired guys and whatnot in the different groups, but, I mean, the toll that we're taking, we are really getting beat up. The emotional toll is quite substantial. You know, unbelievable.
The thing is that, you know, you have 12 gunfire deaths so far this year. The first one last year didn't happen until March 4th. We had 11 of them before March 4th this year. And when we look at that, we go, oh, okay, you know, there's a much bigger rate of officers being fired upon. You could have had more officers killed. If it weren't for luck or bulletproof vest, you'd have a lot more. I mean, look at the officer in Philadelphia who, you know, was ambushed in his car, and lucky enough, his arm went up and deflected the bullets in some way that prevented him from being struck in the head and fatally wounded. I mean, that could have been another one right there.
Oh, absolutely. And again, we had you had at least four New York City police officers within only a few weeks of each other. Two of them engaged in a housing hallway. And two of them engaged by some jihadi nut job, which, of course, that whole jihadi aspect of it has disappeared from the headlines. But, yeah, some jihadi nut job who just wanted to go out and kill cops. You know, we do have luck on our side, luckily. You know, it is what it is. St. Michael, the archangel, I guess, is watching over us to some extent. But even with that, there's only so much that can be done. These numbers are insane. You know,
it just goes to prove the thing that you've been talking about and I've been talking about in the videos I've put out is that the false narrative that's being put out there that police officers are your enemy and police officers are doing all these wrong things is just causing the uprise in rebelliousness against law enforcement and the fact that people don't think that they have to listen or respect law enforcement any longer. And so you're having these incidents where people want to go toe-to-toe and fight you. I posted that video up yesterday. Or they're gonna go ahead and go mano a mano with guns or knives on you. And it's the false narrative that's being put out there. The leadership of the country isn't saying a damn word about it. They're not addressing it at all. You know, it's almost becoming cliché now when you start saying, you know, the commander in chief, the president of the United States, will back a thug, but he's not backing the people who are out there protecting everybody from the thugs, and it sickens me. And then I see these candidates now that are just trashing police officers in their debates and continuing with this false narrative that police officers are out there abusing people of color or minorities. And it's just to the point where the media and the politicians are causing, in my opinion, are causing this uprise in violence against police officers, and it's sad when we're going down this road. I said it before, and I'll say it again: it's a slippery slope.
Absolutely, it is. Absolutely, you know, and it's not even just, you know, let's even take a step back a little bit, step outside the box and look at this from a different angle. It's not even the assaults against officers that are up. I mean, they are, and the shootings are up. The line of duty deaths and the frequency so far this year is up. All that is accurate. But if you even look at the last 12 months where you have, and now this is going to sound silly, but it's still a form of an attack or a disrespect on officers, your refusals of services by restaurants and corporations in the last 12 months is unprecedented. You have, I believe when I did the total, there were 33 incidents, 18 of which were heavily reported in the media. This was unheard of 2-3 years ago. Maybe one a year you'd hear, if even, oh, I was refused service because I'm a cop. I was told to leave because I'm in uniform and make people feel unsafe, or because I have my gun on me and make them feel unsafe. And these are just ramping up. You know, and again, it is odd. You know, you have a lot of these political movements that, like you said, they're anti-cop, they're whatever. You know, when I did bring out, I was doing something on it, and I'm getting ready to release something on it. But you know, there's a big tie-in I noticed between these Occupy movements, these political candidates, even the Black Lives Matter movement, which again tied to your political candidates a lot. Your $15 an hour crew. Every time, you know, there's a demonstration somewhere, it could be New York City, it could be Chicago, it could be wherever, what do you hear? You know, we want dead cops, we want whatever, and $15 an hour. That crew always seems to sneak into everyone else's protest to hold their sign up. You know, great for them, they got some great marketing, but, you know, it makes you even wonder, is this a full agenda against law enforcement in one way, shape, or form? And it's certainly starting to look that way.
You've got a whole group of people who are more than dependent on the government and more than willing to continue with the hand-me-outs. The government has empowered this to happen in more ways than one. And, you know, we've talked about it before. I've always said that it's education, education, education. And I think it starts within the police departments. But the issue that you have nowadays, when you want to go out there and you want to build those relationships with the inner city kids and stuff, that you know, you need to have that dedicated unit in your police department. You have to have that community policing, and the federal government stopped those funds. And so now what you have is you have a shortage of police officers all over the country because, number one, through attrition, people are leaving, people are retiring, and there's no money to pay for because, again, the government cut these funds off from these community policings. Government had these grants, and they were paying the salaries for these police officers. When that stopped, the townships can't afford to keep these officers on, so as people retired, they just never rehired. So now you have a shortage, and I know we have a shortage in New Jersey of police officers, and people don't want to become cops. I mean, you see what's going on out there. People go, you know, there's a certain aspect of people that will always want to be police officers, people who want to go out there and help and do the right thing. But then, you know, there's that fringe people who go, I don't really need that. I don't need that stuff. And so they don't do it. Is that my phone ringing? What is that?
I have no idea. I heard it, but it's gone now. Yeah. So I guess we're good.
You have that whole group that's going, why would I even want to do that? Why would I want to do that? And I you know, you and I know because we did it and it's in our blood and we want to do it. We would go out there today and go do it again. But I can understand some people who have never done it saying, no way, no effing way am I doing that. Why would you? Why would you want to put yourself through the abuse and the disrespect that people are getting?
Oh, absolutely. You're 100% right. But I also felt, you know, like, again, New York City, you know, although they claim there's no shortage, there's a shortage. We wouldn't be seeing such the crime spike here and getting reported in the news the way it is, if it was just because guys gave up. I mean, and they did. The morale is horrible. The guys have given up. The mayor has shown that he's completely against everything the city stands for. You know, even as recent as yesterday, he signed legislation now. In this legislation that he signed, you can go into any sex bathroom you want as long as you feel you're that sex. So
New York City is falling apart, man, because now you've got that going on. Heroin is legalized. Nobody's enforcing peeing in public or even jaywalking or anything like that. I mean, what the hell? When you start letting the little things go, and I know that it's been disproven, a disproven theory, but I still look at the broken windows theory. When there's broken windows and people see it, they realize that nobody cares, and then it just vandalism starts taking off and small crimes start taking off. It's the same thing. When people are seeing people peeing in public and, you know, doing whatever they want and nobody's enforcing it, well, then, okay, let me see what else I can get away with. And New York City's going crazy, man.
Oh, absolutely. But let me clear one thing. Let me just clear one thing. There was a big misconception about that whole heroin thing. When it was reported as New York City, and then it said mayor legalizes. What it is it's actually a city in upstate New York that didn't legalize it but made safety zones for shooting up. However, the second it was released, our mayor in New York City wants to be number two to do it. Just, it will be done. He's already made it clear.
That doesn't surprise me.
You can't stem the abuse of the drug, so let's give it a safe place for it to happen. Okay. I understand the logic, but that's like saying you can't stop people from killing people, so let's just, you know, make safety streets where they can do it, you know, unhindered, and you don't have innocent
right.
bystanders shot. Yeah, I mean, what kind of logic is this? You're absolutely right.
I understand that, you know, there's in New Jersey, there's laws that have been passed that says if you're with somebody who overdoses on heroin and you call for help for that person, that you can't be prosecuted for either doing it with them or anything like that. I get that, because now you want to save the person's life. But when you have somebody who's acting in an irresponsible manner, for instance, one of the last cases that I worked before I retired was a heroin overdose, in which the guy overdosed in his friend's room, and they loaded him up in his car, drove him to the emergency room, basically drug him in and dropped him in the lobby and left. The guy died. He was dead when they walked him in. He was dead. They just left him in the lobby. They didn't tell anybody. So you're going to allow that kind of behavior to, say, go unpunished? I mean, that's ridiculous.
yes, it most certainly is ridiculous.
Hey, David, it's Dave. Morning, Eric. I'm just going to chime in.
How are you?
Good.
You know, you know, Eric, real quick to that, and I'll let Dave jump in on the conversation. You know, listen, it is what it is. It's, you know, New York City, that, you know, there was a report that came out only 2 or 3 days ago. I can't remember exactly which one it was, where people, I think it was, New York Post put it out. They polled. It was a little over 2,000 people that they polled, and over 82% felt safer under any other president, not president, I'm sorry, mayor, preceding this idiot. I mean, I don't even want to refer to him by name. They said under Giuliani and Bloomberg, now, who took, by the way, totally different approaches to things, both in law enforcement and in social development and community development within the city. So totally different approaches than each other, and everyone felt safer. And there are people, a large percentage, over 50%, agreed to the fact that they, although they did not appreciate Giuliani and Bloomberg's harsh stance on, you know, crime and you know, like you said, broken windows, wish now that it would come back.
Yeah, well, I can see that, because this, you know, and I hate to see you throw this out there because it makes people angry when you say it. You go, you know, it's a total liberal media and the liberal politicians. But this is what this is. This is a fact of life. It is the total left and the total left thinking, the total liberal thinking that's bringing you down this path. Now, I'm not saying you need to go to the extreme right. You need to be extreme conservative. That's not what I'm saying. Middle of the road. But when you elect these people who are so far left and just see things in a different light and don't believe, because in my opinion, I think the majority of people who are totally left do not support law enforcement. I think you need to be closer to the middle or, to the right. You need to be closer to the middle, to the right, to support law enforcement. But when you have people like this mayor in New York who is so far to the left and so out there and is thinking for law enforcement, and it's very clear to everybody who's reading or reading the paper or seeing the news reports that and again, I apologize to those of you who think liberal and are liberal and think you're so sick you roll your eyes when you hear somebody say it, but it's the truth. It's the thinking of the liberal parties, the liberal media and the liberal politicians that really don't support law enforcement. And that's what this show is about. This show is about people who support law enforcement. So, of course, we're going to talk out against it.
Absolutely. I agree completely. But, you know, again, the mayor is a communist, the New York City mayor. Again, I don't want to refer to him by his real name because it turns my stomach. But he is, and so is his wife. They're both communists. They embrace socialism. And then again, look at Bernie Sanders. Makes no surprise about it. He wants a socialist America. He said it. He said it in his debates. Although Hillary won't say she wants a socialist America, look at all of her real key points that she has in her debates. And she wants a socialist America. She also wants to be president because it would give her certain immunities to prevent the FBI from locking her up. Totally different
sure.
story. But, you know, again, this is the world we live in. But it's kind of brought us to politics. So,
yeah.
Again, we are in trouble either way. I don't think we have a candidate. And me and Dave spoke about this on another show as well. I don't think I have a candidate I can 100% say I love. I mean, I do have my lesser of two evils, but I don't have the Ronald Reagan that I wish we had.
Well, you know what I said it before in one of my videos or wherever I said it. It's I don't appreciate politicians on either side exploiting police to get votes. I don't appreciate the right exploiting us by saying, oh, they're the greatest thing since sliced bread and blah, 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 and then on the left telling us that we're the shittiest people that have ever walked the face of the earth. I don't appreciate either. Just shut up and govern and tell us your policies and let us make – but don't use the police as your bargaining chip to get elected. I don't like that.
I can agree with you 100%, and I do, but I can tell you this. Out of all the candidates that are there, I can tell you a few certainties. I do know Trump appreciates the cops, always been good to us, NYPD, at any of his facilities in Manhattan whenever we were there. If he was there face-to-face and I've met him, has no problem ever this is even before he ran, stepping away from what he's doing to go over to a cop directing traffic and give him a handshake and thank him. No reason for doing it. Would do it. There's countless tales of that. Lots of money he donated, to military relief and to law enforcement, various law enforcement funds and the PBA and all that. So I appreciate that. He at least is showing
I don't doubt his sincerity at all. I mean, I believe he supports police, but I don't think that I believe he supports police, but again, I don't want anybody to exploit on either side.
Oh, yes,
just tell us your policy.
Right. Eric, I want to say something here on that note. I believe that Marco Rubio actually started this when he came out. He was probably the first candidate that I noticed that came out and said anything. And his statement was that Black Lives Matter has a legitimate point and that they have I can't remember his exact words, but he went off in saying that Black Lives Matter
was
legitimate.
I'll tell you what it was. It was right after a trooper was killed. I can't remember what state it happened in. It was down south. It was not Louisiana, though. A trooper had stopped a car that had broken down, went back to his vehicle, While he was at the vehicle, he was trying to make arrangements for the black man, the black woman, and the black child in the vehicle. I don't think they were married. They were family, domestic partnership, whatever. But he was trying to make reservations at a hotel for them. For whatever reason, the vehicle takes off. In regards to the vehicle taking off, the trooper pursues the vehicle, not knowing why it took off. Vehicle was legit. It was just broken down. I think the driver's license was suspended, and he was not going to arrest the driver. He made that clear. He told them. He knew that. They got that from the wife. And hence the purpose for the hotel. The chase went on for about 2-3 miles down the road. The guy slams on his brakes. The trooper's car rear-ends his car. As the trooper's dealing with seatbelt, airbag, trying to get out, the guy exits his vehicle, firing in through the windshield in the door and killing the cop. He is captured. He's arrested. He's a big proponent in that area, or a big member and organizer in that area for the Black Lives Matter movement. It became very clear that's what it had to do with. It was, the Black Lives Matter. There was a lot of heat on it. We had a flyer about Rubio that I put up in the room that showed their two pictures, the cop and this BLM member. And not long after that, a day or two later, at a public press conference or a debate, whatever it was, town hall meeting that was going on with news cameras there, they had asked them, do you support Black Lives Matter or do all lives matter? He said, Black Lives, of course, matter. And they said, will you sit down with us if you win and take us serious and talk with us? And they said, absolutely. And in return to that, several law enforcement officers asked to sit down with him as a candidate and discuss his willingness to create laws making federal death penalty. And we were one of the groups that did it. And there were several others, many others. He refused to respond to any request from law enforcement about a sit-down. And that's what infuriated a lot of people, and to me, still infuriates me.
I think that's why the other candidates – I'm sorry, David. I think that's why a lot of the other candidates have come out, at, like Trump, and now Cruz is doing it too. I believe Cruz is jumping on that bandwagon. But I believe that's what prompted – Donald Trump to come out and say it in the first place was to separate himself from that candidate to let him know that to let America know that he is not that candidate. It's a major difference between these two candidates in the same party.
Oh, absolutely. I think so anyway. But again, it's politics, and politics suck, right, Eric? I mean, and it is what it is.
I hate talking politics, and believe it or not, I hate it. I never do. If you look at my posts on Facebook or wherever whenever I talk on a video, I never even talk politics. I really don't.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you know as well as I do, politics is just it makes for bad blood. It just like religion. You don't discuss religions.
Right.
This presidency for sure. You can have an open. This is one of the one times for the most part, with the exception of very few. You could actually talk about the presidential election and how no one is overly qualified for it. And no matter who you're talking to, for the most part, not have a disagreement. I mean, I have friends of mine that are ultra liberals that are like, oh, fuck, yeah, I know. I got no one I can vote for either. And it's, you can kind of like sit there and be like, yeah, well, it's, it is what it is. Of course, everyone sees someone as better than everyone else, but there is nobody is jumping out saying they see their Ronald Reagan. I mean, whether it be a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, there's no one jumping up that goes, no, definitely, it's all, lesser of two evils. But for me, I think, and feel free to jump in anybody if you find that I'm wrong with this, but I think from a law enforcement point of view, especially with the client, the climate of today, very important election for us. And I think also very important that no matter what, they find a way to hold off putting in a Supreme Court judge until we get our new president. And those are two very important issues, I think, that are going to face us as a law enforcement community.
Agreed.
There you go. Nice and easy.
Karen,
what do you got?
3-2.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, though, to back up just a little bit, but politics plays a lot in it. Eric had mentioned about the COP program with the community-oriented policing. Okay, and it ties in with politics because, you know, monies are involved, federal monies. But here, you know, your departments are putting on a smoke and mirrors kind of deal so that they can – they don't have the officers to put out there. So what they do is they create one-man cars, which puts the officers at great risk, just so that it looks like to the community that they have double the officers out there because they see twice as many cars floating around, when in essence they really don't. They're very understaffed because of money constraints. And that's because of your politicians playing games with money, not giving money when it's due. It's a fucking pony show is what it is.
Unfortunately. You know, it's a political tool, no matter what it is. They all do it, you know, one way or the other. Listen, the government's corrupt. Let's just make it what it is. The hell with community policing, the hell with Black Lives Matter, because they don't. It is what it is. Blue lives don't matter either. This is all, when it comes to government, they're all corrupt and they all want their money. And they're going to say whatever they say is going to get them more money. You know, the reality is if we could just get everyone to agree with that, you know, I know Eric does, Dave, I know you do, Amanda, I know you do. We've discussed it on other shows. But if we could just get that message out there that, you know what, senators, congressmen and women, you know, everyone on the Hill, they, including Supreme Court justices, they all need their term limits. You know, even to your local government, and we've said it before, which is why it's really big for me when I say, listen, we have somebody we're backing. They're a retired cop. They come from a blue family. They're good people. They traditional values and all that. We need to support them locally. And you don't get, you know, no one reacts to it on the group. And I'm like, you know what? That's where it starts. Get the local people in. Start making the changes there with the term limits. Start rooting out the corruption at the smaller level, and you'll get it going up the chain. Because Lord knows, this is the one case you can't start from the top and have it trickle down. It does not work that way. I just don't see it. Even if you said, well, Trump, you know, he's got his own money, he can't get bought, that's great. But he can't get anything passed and done because everyone else below him is bought and dirty. It can't happen. He'll try to pass a law. It will not happen. Everything will get tied up in court. Everything will get tied up in, you know, even the Supreme Court justices, are they really there because of their job and they love what they do? Or are they sitting there and striving for it because it's a lifelong pension? It's a lifelong six-figure salary plus all the perks. They're lobbied by companies as well, just like senators are. I mean, they are getting perks out the ass. I mean, I live in a middle-class, blue-collar neighborhood. I don't have a Supreme Court judge here. I don't have a senator that lives in my town or a congressman. You know, they may hold an address if required to have a district. They're never there. They live in two towns over where the houses are five times as expensive and the land is three times as big. But that's only their temporary residence they're always at. Their permanent residence is an empty house with no furniture where a cop car sits in front of it all the time, where they show up maybe twice a year to water the lawn so people see them. Oddly enough, it's around an election time. And then that's it. They're gone. So, realistically, the battle we're fighting to save our cops, to save our brothers and sisters, to save our country, to save our values, to save our system, has to start at the ground level. And I know I throw it out there, and I did it recently, too, with somebody we're supporting, who's looking for some people in Texas to help him out. I left the post up there for 3 days. The post got 80-something likes, not one comment. And when I look through the likes and I got to see four or five people I know are in his area that are going to be voting for him, and all he's asking is to communicate with people to help him, like to spread the words locally on social media and whatnot, and they couldn't even friggin' respond. It infuriates them. I'm not going to curse. It infuriates the heck out of me.
Now, they act like deer in headlights. And then the minute the light shines on them, when they should react, they don't.
Well,
absolutely.
I just put an I just put that same post back up in the group because I got an email from them this morning. And I put on there, part of LESMA is taking it to the streets. We're not just Facebook warriors, and we need people in the streets to do this stuff. Not always fun, but it's part of what we do. If you fight for the police, then actually fight for the police.
Absolutely. You know, and it's the same thing. We're not asking people to do anything hard. Just, you know what, spread the word of who he is on Facebook to your local friends, because they're going to be voting. So let's make this change. All you got to do is share his page, you know, and that's the problem. But we saw that, too, in Colorado. But you know what? When we ran with our guy in Colorado, we prevailed, and he won by a landslide. His numbers increased, even though we had minimal impact. And it's funny, you know, Eric, I don't know what this is, and I can ask you, you know, you've been fighting for law enforcement, you know, longer than I have. You know, for some reason, if somebody screws up and it gets some public attention and we put it out there and this put out, you know, this person works at this company and denied service to this cop or whatever it may be, we have 17,000 and change in the group, and I can get 15,000 people to respond to that in a heartbeat. And they're writing the corporation FU, they're writing it on paper, they're people you didn't even know had typewriters are typing formal letters to the corporate office to make sure this person's fired. But if somebody's doing the right thing or trying to do the right thing and you put it out there and said, listen, we just want to make sure this person's you know, known to their company that they're doing the right thing and they're doing great work, and maybe somehow they'll be rewarded for what they're doing and encourage others to do the same. Oh, I ain't got time for that. I'm busy. I have to clip my toenails. I'm unable to do that. And it's, you know, we're not, you know. But
unfortunately, like, and I'm going to sound like an asshole here when I say this, but unfortunately it's the busybody mentality of people who want to get involved in the negative stuff, and they want to get involved in and, you know, just think that negative stuff and say, oh, well, let's go get this person, this you know, person who denied somebody service or spit in a hamburger or whatever. And,
right.
And they don't want to get involved in the other stuff because, you know what, it's not as much fun. It's not as much fun. You it's know, more fun to complain.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, definitely. You know, I get that, but, you know,
I don't want to, and I'm not trying to knock any of the LESMA members because I get it. They're active. But when you're not getting involved on the other end of it and praising somebody for the job they're doing, but you know what? That goes with anything. That goes with anything that you do. I think in life, even as a police officer, when you go out there and you do a good job, and maybe a couple of people come and say, "Hey, nice job," but then you know your higher ups just let it go. But the second you punch in a minute late, they're all over you and saying, you know, this has got to stop. I mean, it's just so it's the same thing.
Well,
it's the negativity. We want to correct the bad behavior, but good behavior, it's expected. It's expected. And it is expected. It should be expected, but you need to recognize it at the same time.
Well, you know, it comes back down to, you know, if you remember, and it still is in policy today with corporate America, they put out every company has some form of a customer satisfaction survey that they put out. They want feedback from their customers. That way they can better serve them or make changes. But if you're so willing to fill that out on corporate America and say, okay, so Jane, who brought you towels in your hotel when she didn't have to, she went above and beyond, so she gets a pat on the back. Well, you know what? You can do the same with law enforcement. Just because they're a government body doesn't mean you can't show your appreciation and make the higher-ups know that this person went above and beyond and put the spotlight on them, you know, promote good. You don't have to always just jump in and chime in on the bad things. Yeah, I continue to do that, to fight what's wrong? Yeah, I want to correct it. But I also want to give the person their due that when they've really made an outstanding leap forward, and the community should see it. They should recognize it.
I agree completely with you, David. But you know, it's not even that. Unfortunately, it's not even that. At least in my opinion, it's not even that clear cut. You know, and what I mean is, you know, and it's right on target with what Eric said. And I think of it as being on patrol. And listen, the three of us were there. My patrol car breaks down, gets a flat. and I pop the trunk, and I'm like, oh, fuck. I have no tire iron. Okay, I'll put over the radio. At least in the NYPD, it was an 85 non-emergency, mechanical failure. Is there anyone out there with a tire iron that can swing by and drop it off? Birds. That's all you hear is birds, birds chirping. Maybe one guy will be like, yeah, I'll be right over an hour later, you know. But I pull over, and I ask for an 85, which, again, is assistance. And, again, it could be for nothing. It could be serious. But if I just put over, I need an 85 central to the dispatcher, non-emergency person stopped, everyone's like, oh, bullshit, that means he's fighting, and they come flying over. They come flying over, and it's like, no, guys, I really just needed, and they scatter as fast as, you know, it's like cockroaches when the light go on. They scatter when there's no fight. But when they're ready for a fight, when they think there's a fight, it's like everyone wants to, you know, listen, it's everyone pile on the rabbit. That's all it is, you know. Even on the radio, it's funny because I remember telling them, you know, again, fighting somebody, chasing somebody, and putting over the radio, central, no further, stop the units, no further needed. I swear to God, the second you said that, that's when you heard the sirens kick on. And more people raced over. And you'd look up and you'd be like, motherfucker, you don't even work in this precinct. What are you doing here? Oh, I was on the border. I thought I'd come over and help. No, I don't need you. So, I mean, so the mentality does go through, and that might be maybe that's the issue too, because the cops, I'm thinking maybe in our group, there's quite a bit of them, obviously. Maybe that's where they're going. But, you know, I think as a group, as a whole, as a society, we can get a lot more done. You know, I always tell the people, we can beat down a company. We've done it. We've done it to the Rio Casino. We've done it to Whataburger. We've done it to, you know, Smashburger and all these other companies. When shit happened that we got involved in is LESMA, like that we took responsibility for. But you have to be able to build the company up to show your strength. Anyone can knock them down. But when you can knock them down and then you can pick that company up when they do the right thing and build that even as far as Facebook ratings go and build it back up, that's where you establish your connection with your company. That's when you establish a company that sees the power of this demographic, you know, the law enforcement and its supporters, and says, this is somebody we want to take care of and make sure it doesn't happen again. But when you knock them down and say, fuck them, we're going to beat them up, and you don't bother to pick them up and dust them off, you know, that's when the company's going to be like, fuck you, you're not even worth dealing with. We're going to get knocked down no matter what, and you can't help us. So why do we do for you? It's the same as when you toss someone on the street. If you don't send them off nice and dust them off and pat their ass and make sure their hair looks good, you know you're getting a complaint in regards. But when you make it seem like, listen, I'm just doing my job, I'm doing what I got to do, I'm sorry, this is stupid, let me get you on your way, and you know what, let me, you know, like, I mean, I know I used to do it. Plenty of times we stopped somebody thinking they had a gun and they had a gun. Sometimes they didn't. And be like, fuck, you know what, we held you up for 5 minutes, we made you late, where are you going to? Going to my job. It's about 6 blocks away. I'm going to be late. No problem. Hop in. We'll take you. Drive the guy to work. Right. Drop him off. Say, listen, man, I'm sorry. And the guy turns around and he's like, you know what? You're mad cool. You rock. You're awesome. Because most guys would have been like, sucks to be you, and drove off. And you didn't hear a complaint.
Through everything you just said, the only thing I'm stuck on is the fact that you didn't have a tire iron in your car, and you probably got written up when you put that over the air.
Unfortunately,
you didn't do a proper vehicle inventory before you went out on the road.
No, it's happened more than once. actually, and I'll tell you another little funny story about that. But it saved my ass. We have a policy. I don't know what your department is. It's a real stupid policy. But in the NYPD, you have to check the oil upon turnout. If your engine blows and there's no oil in it, you are personally responsible for repairing for the repair of that vehicle, the rebuild of that.
No, no way. No way would that shit fly where I was at. No.
Well, I had that happen. I didn't bother. It was an old fucking clunker. I was doing red light auto when it happened. And the motor seized. And I was like, fuck, crap, And I'm like, you know, and again, it was the mistake of taking, you know, trusting your partner who works the shift before you and trusting his entries as being legit. Yeah, exactly. But luckily enough, our R&P coordinator who took care of the vehicles, good friends with him, called him up, and I'm like, I'm fucked. You know, and sure enough, he went to the 55-gallon drum, and he pumped up a couple of gallons, you know, or he filled up like a – he actually filled up an old radiator fluid container, and he brought it out there. We filled it with oil and brought it into the shop. I get a call from the CO at CRS, Central Repair Station, to come in. It was an unofficial call. It was like through my boss. Gets me on the phone. He's like, listen, I just need you to come in. Can you come down? You, no big deal. Just come down real quick. I'm like, all right, no problem. I come down. There's my car on the lift. And he's looking at me, and he's like, did you check if there was oil? I said, absolutely. Yeah, it was full. It was actually, I think it might have been a little over, but it was full. So he turns around, and he goes, shows me the container. And he goes, this is the cleanest used motor oil I've ever fucking seen. And he looked at it, and I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. And he's like, you're full of shit. I know you're full of shit, but very smart thinking. And he just left it at that. He's like, go back to your command. We're done. I'm like, all right, no problem. I left. So being fast on your feet kind of helps a little bit. But, yes, I actually did get written up for not having a tire iron, not checking it, and many other things. It is what it is. And it was happened when I was in the squad, by the way. Who none of their vehicles are properly equipped, at least in the 114, because I used to maintain the logs and I forged them every day because no one bothers to check. And my boss would look at them when they did the self-review and he'd be like, you mean to tell me there really is a shepherd's crook in the trunk of every car? And I said, as long as you don't look at them, I'm swearing that there's a shepherd's crook in every single car. I don't even know. Do you know? I don't even know if anyone knows what a shepherd's crook is. Is that just an NYPD thing? Did you have that in your car?
I had a halogen bar. That's about it. I don't know what a shepherd's crook is.
It literally looked like a pole with a hook. It looked like a shepherd's. Yeah. That's what it was. A shepherd's crook. It was a pole that was about 4 feet high with a hook at it at the end of it, so that you could grab an emotionally disturbed person with it and pin them down to the ground. We didn't have any. There were none. But on my form, because they never took it off the form, you had to check off that it was there. I kept checking off that it was there every single fucking time. And
nah, we didn't carry those.
Yeah, no, we had a lot of weird shit. But, you know, it is what it is.
Hey.
But now let me get to something else real quick. I know Amanda was about to chime in. I just want to throw out kudos. I apologize. I mentioned the 114. I did retire out of there in the squad. I just want to give kudos to the 114. If anyone happens to be listening or they picked this up in archive, it's very important. They were involved in a major shootout in the precinct a couple of days ago with a man who had not only stabbed somebody but also murdered somebody and then set somebody, a homeless man, on fire in the same rampage. He was tracked down. He was caught. He was cornered, and he was lit up. Unfortunately, he survived. I wish he had not. Real menace to society he was when I was there. Not this much of a menace, but he was when I was there. They handled it well. I think it was six or seven shots they pumped into him before he went down. Unfortunately, he didn't die. Emergency services did a great job with taking him down. They tried to do it without force. The video is on our Facebook page, which will definitely explain to people why we shoot more than once sometimes, and why you can't just talk everybody into handcuffs. It is actually a great amateur video from a cell phone. The apartment behind this guy's residence, he was in the backyard, they videotaped it. Great job. So I want to give kudos to everyone who worked that job and those crime scenes, who tracked this son of a bitch down, who took this guy into custody, to the two officers that were hurt. One was a supervisor, one was a cop. They didn't mention rank at the time, but they were burned by some chemical agent he threw in their face. They are going to make it. There is no damage to the eyes. There was concern on one of the officers. But everyone's going to make it. They'll get a couple of days off. The weather's nice. That's great. But great work by all of you. Thank you. I miss you. It really made me want to go back to work. I wish I was there for that. And that's it. I'm sorry. Amanda, go ahead with what you were going to say.
Okay. Well, on that video, actually, I loved that video. I watched that, and it was the coolest thing because I've never seen so many police officers operating in one place, and it was really cool. I don't know. I was amazed. They were very calm, and you hear the gunshots, and these cops are just, like, walking around like nothing, organizing, getting where they need to be, and I'm like, holy shit. So I had to throw that in there. That was a very cool video to see officers just how well they handle a situation. That was pretty cool. Eric, I was going to say we're getting to the end of the show, and we've been asking people to share, like, their funny stories or, you know, do you have something, like, a hilarious law enforcement story to share with everybody?
Oh, God. probably not. You put, I think I told you
to put pressure on you, Eric.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I think I told you about the Walking Dead guy before, right, where I sat on the couch with him. I tell you that story?
I
don't
know.
Think so. That does not
sound
familiar.
I don't remember that. But I'm a big fan of the Walking Dead.
All right. Well, it's not that big of a deal. But when the Walking Dead first came on back, you know, I guess it's been 6 years now. Everybody was into it. I was into it. I wanted to watch it. I wanted to watch it when the show was happening because people were posting spoilers up online. So you always wanted to see the show when it was happening so you didn't see these spoilers online. And I happened to be the on-call detective that weekend on a Sunday night. I get a call that there's a dead body I got to come in for, unattended death. So I'm all pissed off. I'm like, man, I want to see The Walking Dead. This sucks. So I go in, and it turns out to be, unfortunately, a heroin overdose. The guy dies sitting on the couch in his room, in his living room, with this, I don't know why, heroin users always seem to have their pants down around their ankles, but they do. And so he died with the needle in his arm, pants around his ankles, sitting on his couch. And I'm there, we're going through stuff, we're making sure, you know, it was definitely an overdose, not a suicide or anything, but it's an unattended death. So we still, in the county I was in, we still had to have the ME's office come out and collect the body. So everybody leaves, I'm stuck there with this guy, waiting for the ME's office to come in, and it's time for The Walking Dead to start. So I'm looking around the living room, and I see the TV's there, I turn it on, I put The Walking Dead on, I sit on the couch right next to this guy, I watched The Walking Dead with the dead guy sitting next to me. Of course, I pulled my gun out. I was like, if this fucker moves. So it was a silly little story where I actually watched The Walking Dead sitting next to a dead guy on a couch.
Lucky for you, rigor mortis did not set in at that moment.
Yeah, right.
It would have been one hell of an unusual report to have to type up. Let me tell you.
I don't know how I would explain that.
I have a mental picture of this happening, Eric.
It as it is. Listen, I would explain it as it is. The body lurched up, and I put two center mass and then one to the head just to make sure. Walking Dead, you don't know. But you know why a lot of them drop their pants? I did know. I did notice. A lot of them do it. I had these two junkies. I actually had to ask them. I had these two junkies where I would sit. There was a Mobile on the Run gas station on Northern Boulevard, right across from Woodside Houses, Northern Boulevard, and where it intersects with Broadway in Astoria, Queens. And actually, that area is actually Long Island City. And I remember these two junkies would come in, guy and a girl, all the time. They'd come into the Mobile on the Run. And the Mobile on the Run would, you know, give me free coffee. But they would also ask me, when these people came in, the manager, I knew the manager, she would always ask me, listen, can you come in and, like, kind of chase them out? I mean, they buy stuff, so they don't mind, but they didn't want them shooting up in the bathroom. So they would come in, they would get a coffee, and they would make their coffee with, like, a shitload of sugar. And then they'd buy, like, one or two Snickers bars. And they'd walk out with each of them with a coffee and, like, two Snickers bars. They'd get the Snickers bars in a bag, and then they'd ask for a few more extra bags and napkins. And I couldn't understand why it was like the same routine. Certain things changed. The sugar, always a lot of sugar in the coffee. Sometimes it was a different candy bar. But it was always candy. I still don't understand what the candy was for, but they did eventually, curiosity got the best of me, and I stopped them. And I told them, I said, listen, I know you're shooting up. I know you're going to buy some shit. I know you're going to shoot up, and I know eventually I'm going to get a call to pick you up because you're going to be dead. But what's the deal? Why is it always this routine? The bags are the shit in. When they shoot up and they get high, they lose control of their bowels, and they shit in the bags. They drop their pants and sit on top of the bag so that they can shit in the bag rather than shit in their pants.
Now, there you go.
They don't want it to seem like they're filthy animals by shitting in their pants, but yet if you look at them, you can tell they're filthy animals
right.
by looking at them.
Right.
Makes no sense. But at least they held on to a little bit of humanity till the end. Sad to say, one day I was out there and I get a call and from the manager. You know, she comes out, she's like, we got someone in the bathroom. She didn't know who it was, went into the bathroom, and it was the girl. She had overdosed. EMS came. Nothing they could do, but she had overdosed in the bathroom. But the guy was gone, and I never saw the guy after that. So he might have overdosed, you know, a day or two before. Who knows? What the fuck? But it is a horrible drug. But luckily for everybody listening, just so you know, New York City is eventually going to make it legal for you to shoot up in a safe zone. I'm not sure exactly what that means. But feel free to start taking heroin because New York City is going to make it safe. What the fuck?
Crazy.
That's disgusting.
And eventually you'll see where you'll have an okay corral, too. You got to beef with your neighbor. Take your gun to the local shootout area, and you can shoot each other.
You know what? It brings up a good point. You might get a kick out of this. Everyone might get a kick out of this. We used to, when I was not in Astoria, it didn't happen in Astoria. This was when I was working in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Many a times, Polish immigrants, we were right near Greenpoint, it's a big Polish area, Polish immigrants don't speak a lick of English along Broadway underneath the L, would get shit-faced drunk. I mean, like you wouldn't believe, shit-faced drunk. These were old-time alcoholics, and they would actually pass out against the stanchions holding up the elevated L train with their benefits card sticking out of their pocket so that they can get medical treatment when they pass out. The paramedics would see it right away. I wonder in New York City, now that, again, this was Brooklyn, New York. This was back in 97 through 2000 that I was in Brooklyn, New York in the 90. But I wonder if the heroin, you know, like, okay, because they talk about cops getting this, what is it, Narcan to bring them out of, you know, when they Why don't – listen, you're putting a responsibility on a cop. There's enough shit we can get sued for. I mean wrongfully sued for, but we get sued for. Why are we giving the drug to fucking cops? It's readily available. Some chain pharmaceuticals, I think CVS is one of them, you can walk in without a prescription and actually get Narcan.
Yeah, they're selling it over the counter just like aspirin.
Right. Now, my wife is a physician. My wife has even thought, I have an electronic defibrillator in my house because my wife's a physician. She wanted it. We got it. You never know when able. And my wife has even mentioned, you know, we can get this without a prescription. Why don't we get it in case we need it for a neighbor? I look at my neighborhood. I'm like, I don't know if any of them are on opiates. But whatever you want to do. My wife's got this medical kit that things like a friggin' one of those big construction job tool kits with, you know, the steel box that has to get lifted off with a forklift. That's what this friggin' thing is like that she has. But it's good. We have everything we need. Eric, if The Walking Dead ever really happened, this is a good place to be. I'm just telling you, reach out to me. You're welcome, you know.
Okay.
She's got everything. But that being said, why don't we just give this shit to the junkies and they can leave it in their pocket with their welfare card, and then when the cops show up, we just take it out of their pocket and inject them.
Because they'll inevitably forget about the Narcan and they'll leave it somewhere else, or they'll sell it to somebody to get more drugs.
You know what? You're right. I didn't even think of that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you just solved the problem. Here I am. I thought I had a way to get cops out of it, and yet you brought me right back to reality, and part of the reason why I love you. So, again, listen, we're running out of time. We're actually a little bit into extra overtime. They do give us – no, I'm sorry. I just got the magic woman told me we have 10 seconds left, but we will be going into overtime. So I would really appreciate it, Eric, if you wouldn't mind again, anyone else tuning in, your page, your concert, not concert, your show that you're doing in the Southwest, what you have coming up this weekend, throw it all out there so everyone has it. You know, I'm a big supporter of you. I frequently tell people to follow you. We put your stuff up in your room. Let's hear everything you got so what people know.
All right. Well, if you're not friends with me on Facebook, you can find me on Facebook. It's DSIE1. That would be the Facebook place that you would find me. I post a lot of videos up in support of law enforcement as much as I can. If you're interested in my comedy, you can go to ericpotts.com. You can check out my schedule there. This weekend I will be at the Milton Theater in Milton, Delaware, for a show Friday night. Actually don't have a show Saturday night, which is rare. And then I will be embarking on a Southwest tour coming up here 1st of April. I will be 3 days in Laughlin, Nevada at the Edgewater Casino. Then I will be in Arizona at the Hyundai Casino, then Pine Top, Arizona. Then I'll be in New Mexico, various places. Again, just go over to ericpotts.com. You can check out the schedule there, and it'll tell you where I'm at. Come out, hang out with us, and see some comedy, laugh, and we'll have a drink or two afterwards.
Sounds great. Hey, and listen, go ahead. Come on in. Go ahead, Tammy.
It's Karen.
Karen, what are you doing? You're supposed to be working right now.
I know, right? I'm playing hooky. No, I'm kidding. It's my day off. But I have a question for Eric.
Yeah.
If a supporter wants to bring a show to our city, what is the best way? Do we request the venue, or?
Yeah, I mean, it's if they don't know me, I mean, again, I've only been doing comedy five years, so for me, it's just now getting out there and traveling the country and getting my name out there. If they don't know me, they're not going to know who I am. But if you go to a venue, comedy club, and say, you know what, I can bring, because they're not going to bring me in if one or two people are going to be there. If they know that I can bring people in, there's going to be 25, 30 people showing up to see a show, they'll bring me in. You know, I happen to be going on this tour now with the national headliner, Kevin Downey Jr., who I happen to be really good friends with. So him and I are going out together. They're not coming out to see me. They're coming out to see him. They'll get to know me by going to see him. It's the same thing. If you want me in a club and you want to see me, just go ask the club. I mean, you know, whatever city you're in, and say, hey, we would love for this guy to come in. We can bring a bunch of people in, and then just send them to my website, ericpotts.com, if they're interested. But most places will be like, yeah, okay, get bent. Unless they know they're
you know what,
get
Karen?
Somebody.
Let me ask you something, Karen. And I'm doing this in it's an official capacity request. Karen is officially my administrative assistant because she gave herself that title. But she's actually generally awesome at getting shit done, let me tell you. She's like the Donald Trump of the police supporter world. She can get shit done. Is there a way you can reach out to your people that you've spoken to at Battle of the Badges and see if maybe we can work something out? Again, if Eric's got the time available, where maybe he can have a show down there or a venue with all the people that are coming in?
Yeah, I can reach out. I saw a few places in Monroe, in West Monroe, that they host events like that. So I'll research that. And
I would definitely say the Battle of the Badges, let me tell you, it's all cops coming in to beat the crap out of each other and firefighters. So Eric is definitely going to get a huge following there, being, you know, retired cop. And he's got the support of 17,000 people. I mean, clearly we're not all showing up. But we have a decent showing coming, you know, that's coming there. So, you know, his 30, 40 people he's talking about, we clearly have more than that showing up to our meet and greet down there at the Battle of the Badges. So I think if he's available that weekend, we can get him a show or two down there, which I'd love to do to help him out. I love Eric. I mean, Eric's like the brother I've never met before. Really good guy. So, I mean, if you could really work on that, Karen, I'd appreciate it, and I'd owe you big time.
I'll do it gladly. You won't owe me anything.
Sounds good to me.
Karen, I appreciate it. There you go. So we'll see if we can get that worked out for you. Because
hey,
I'll
Dave,
be honest,
I want to be
there, right? What?
I just want to mention something real quick. here in Ohio,
they're
in Ohio. They're trying to push a Senate bill of 280. It's been House Bill 286. Anybody who's listening, who's from the Ohio area, please support Senate Bill 286. It's a law that they're trying to enact where anybody who kills a canine or mounted patrol will automatically do time. So please support the bill.
Well, I find it hard to believe that you need to say that and it's not going to get the support. I also find it hard to believe that they don't already have that, because even liberal New York has that already.
Well, they don't have it in every state. I think that should be right across the board for every state. But unfortunately, that's not the way it is. And a lot of people, and I'm sure there's some of our listeners in Ohio and members that are probably not aware of it. Unless they keep up with every aspect of politics, they're not going to be aware of it. So that's
and
why
let me,
put,
let me just go ahead, finish up. I'm sorry, I thought you were done.
No, I just wanted to put it out there. I just want people to support that bill. If you're not sure of what it is, it's easy to look up. You can read the information on it. I mean, it's a damn good.
Well, listen, I'm definitely, we're definitely going to do that. We have actually, by the way, post that over into our main group and off of your group. We have a very large section of Ohio we have over 1,000 members actually in the Ohio area, in that state. That being said, though, I know, Eric, you're going to have a show going up into Ohio. What area are you hitting?
Oh, I'd have to look it up in my schedule. I'm not even sure. I'll look it up right now while you're – keep talking. I'm going to look it right now.
I mean, you got it. We'll keep it talking because I want to get it out there. We have a lot of people in Ohio. Dave, if you can – and it was weird. You're mentioning this. I always said, I was like, what the fuck is it with Ohio? I don't have a problem with Ohio, by the way. But I'm like, why the fuck do we have so many people in Ohio? And I still don't know why we have a lot of people in Ohio. It's weird that we do.
I'm in Ashtabula, Ohio, but I think it may be a fundraiser for a group. I'm not sure. But look for something with
it's
Kevin Downey
Jr. Well, I mean,
it's
still being open, right? Because we have a lot of members. I'd love to send them your way. If you can actually,
yeah,
you know what you do? Send me the link or send me the information through private messenger, and I'll make sure. When is the event?
Friday, April 15th.
All right. So if you send it to me now, I'm going to keep that posted on the page and relevant and up at the top between now and April 15th. Because
okay.
I'm telling you, a shitload of Ohio members. I don't know why Ohio, it's the biggest state we have, other than New York, which I'm assuming is because, all the NYPD guys I invited. Ohio is the second highest registration of people that we have.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why, but it is for some crazy-ass reason. I love you all in Ohio. Don't take crazy ass the wrong way. I don't know anything about people from Ohio. Are they crazy? Because I really don't want them looking me up. But I would love to promote the show you're doing there and send them out there for you. So,
that would be awesome.
Yeah,
anybody
listen, do it.
Anybody in Pittsburgh the next night, I'm in just outside of Pittsburgh at the Rustover Ice Garden. So,
we do have a decent showing in Pennsylvania. I don't know the distance to Pittsburgh, but we're good there. We actually have a huge following in Louisiana. I don't know if you have anything coming up there, but if you ever do, we have a huge following there. Not as big as Ohio, but we have a huge following there. And then it kind of dwindles out. It's all pretty much equal after that. Those are our big states, Pennsylvania, Ohio, New York, and Louisiana. So if you have ever anything there, Eric, believe me, please, I'm begging you. I'd love to throw it out there. It actually kills me. You are actually in my hometown. And I missed your show. Yeah, you know what? You put on your page that you were was at Brokerage Comedy Club not that long ago.
Yeah, it was.
And I'm like, it came up, I'm sitting at dinner with my family, and I'm like, it comes up on my thing. You had just posted it that you were at, you know, you checked yourself in, I guess, at Brokerage Comedy Club. And I'm like, fuck, really? He's in my, like, that's 5 minutes from my house. And I'm looking at my wife, and she's like, you got a babysitter, asshole? And I'm like, no, I don't.
I'll be back up there. That's one of the clubs that I'll be back at. So I'll be there, and I'll be in New York City again here real soon. So there's
some
stuff
in the works. Long Island, if you're ever out on Long Island, hit me up. And I'm going to tell you now, I'm not asking for a freebie. I'm not asking to get in. I'm not asking for nothing. I'd love to take my wife and my oldest daughter, she's a teenager, you know, to come see your show. It would be great. And a couple of friends of mine from the neighborhood as well. So if you give me a couple of days heads up, I can actually arrange that, and we'll all come down there. I'd love to support you any way I can, believe me. Brother, you got it. Whatever we can ever do, your signs, posters, whatever, send it out to us. We're there.
Well, I appreciate
I
that. Thank you.
No, I appreciate it. Anything we can do for you, it's always an open door. Feel free to call and let us know what we can do. But with that said, you know what? We're coming to the end of the show. We're in our overtime. You know, so I'm going to let you all say goodbye. I love having you all on. It's been a while since we had you on, Eric. Hopefully not so long till the next time. Love having you on.
Yeah, anytime. Let me know. I'm home during the day, so anytime.
Yo, you're a lot like me. That's great. I'd love to do another PTSD show. I know we did two of them. It's been a while since we did another one. We aired one of the repeats around the holidays, and you know what? It got, even though it was a repeat show, it got, you know, we promoted it, and it got a huge following.
Oh, good.
I think maybe it's good to do another one maybe sometime in the future. You let us know what works for you. We'll get that done, and you know, hopefully we have you on again soon.
Sounds good. I really appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, and I'll see you out there on the road.
Sounds great. Thank you very much for joining us, Eric. I appreciate it.
Come on.
Take care. Anyone else want to say goodbye? Anyone else still on? Was it just me and
Thank
Edward?
You.
Oh, okay, you're on. Everyone, join me
again.
Listen, I love you all, David. Don't let me down. Get me whatever information you can on Ohio.
I just
like
that
I
link
said,
over.
I shit you not. We have a huge following in Ohio. Can really actually, I think, politically be of some big help with getting this bill passed. I know it's big to you, the canines and other creatures of law enforcement. It is to me, too. I love my little puppy. You know, let's get this done. So if you can get the information, you know, just post it to the group. You know the deal. Amanda or I or Karen will.
In fact,
you know
while
what?
We were talking, I had already done it.
Oh, okay. I haven't checked. Maybe one of them posted it. Maybe they didn't. If not, we will. We'll get it out
there.
I mean,
if still listening, I know that she is friends with people within the K-9 officers group. And orientation, so I know she's got a heavy connection to that, and she's been instrumental to me too. I mean, I've utilized her a couple times, and I pick her brain, and she likewise. So like you said, she's a wonderful person to have around. She's very helpful.
Well, you know what, I try to make, you know, listen, let's be honest, we're in our extra minutes. Let me allow this 30 second break. You're only as good as the people you surround yourself with, plain and simple. Amanda is fantastic. She's a beautiful person. She's got a heart of gold. She really fully feels and understands, you know, what's going on, what the officers need. It's not something you're going to get from an everyday person. You know, it's not a soccer mom thing where she's filling her time. This is a passion for her, greatly appreciated. I don't even have to discuss you, Dave. We know what your history is. You're retired law enforcement. Enough said. You're there. You know, and again, with Karen, the compassion she has for it, the love that she has for you know, her heroes, her civil servants, at any degree. It's not just cops. You know, she's reached out to me with stuff from, you know, local firefighters from her old town, firefighters from the town where she went to college. They need help. They need whatever. You don't get that.
She's like Amanda.
Absolutely. You know, the two of them are two peas in a pod. If we could somehow take even 10% of what either one of them has and get that emotional response from the majority of our supporters for law enforcement, the things we could actually do, the things we could pass, the things we could get done are unbelievable.
Oh, the possibilities are endless. There's no doubt.
Absolutely. But, again, I think that's a key part, even with these other groups. I have some other members as well. Just as important, just as instrumental. But I don't have the authorization to use their name, and they're not listening in on the show now, so I'm not going to use their name. But there are a few others, so you're not forgotten. And one of them is in my home state of New York. I'm just going to throw that out as a hint. I'm talking about you. You know who I am. You know what I'm talking about. I just don't have permission to use your name. Very important. So you're only as good ever as your support, you know. And again, it's like with elections. Trump, one of the reasons I like him is I know he knows how to get a good team going. That's what I'm trying to get, and that's what I think I have between you, Amanda, Karen, this other unnamed person, and a few other people I have locally that are with very close to me. I consider them like New York delegates for getting things done. But I don't have permission to throw their name out, so I'm not going to do that. So I have a very good group of, you know, six or seven people in total that I think could really make things happen. And guess what? We are.
Within the Lesma regime, we've got a lot of movers and shakers.
Oh, absolutely. Moving and shaking is all that happens. And I got to be honest with you. I got, you know, and especially Karen. You know, Amanda gets a little tied up sometimes. I'm not knocking you, Amanda. I know you're listening. But, you know, she's got a lot of kids to raise. She's got a husband to take care of and a house to maintain and all that other stuff that she's doing. Let me tell you something. I don't know how she has the time. But at the same token, Karen is like a little – she's like the Energizer Bunny. I mean, she reaches out to me sometimes. It's late at night. And she's reaching out to me like it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and I say to myself all the time, I'm like, "Oh my God, we'll figure this out tomorrow," because I'm like passing out. But I'm an old man too. I'm an old man.
I know that.
You know my pain. You know that's the problem. We don't have any young blood men in the group. That's what we need to do. We need to get some young blood men in the group. These women are just too young, and they got too much energy. Plain and simple. But they get a lot done, and I really appreciate them, and I thank them for that. But unfortunately, us from the genital generation, because we're older than them, you know, we don't act as, but they are on top of shit like you wouldn't believe, Dave. They are phenomenal. And I know
I know
what Amanda is. You know Amanda very well. I mean, you guys are from the same town. And that being said, I have to really thank Amanda for introducing you to I. And I really do appreciate everything you put into it. And I appreciate having another law enforcement retired member deeply rooted within the foundation of Lesma. And you always will be, no matter where Lesma goes. I know you're running our canine page, but you are a big member within Lesma itself. You're running that page, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, for layman's terms, we'll go to police lingo, you are a chief within Lesma. You're just running that page. That's your unit, your page. You're doing it.
I appreciate that, and I thank you for that. I'm just doing what is right. I was raised law enforcement. My whole family's been in law enforcement their entire life. So, you know, it's in my blood.
Well, and mine as well. But just remember one thing. Remember this. This is very important, especially for you. See, I can slack off a little bit because I don't have anyone right around me. And I have delegates. My delegates, I would consider them along these ranks, I would consider them captains to you being a chief, or even inspectors. I'm going by NYPD rank. Inspector is just below chief. You would be a chief within my rank. My delegates, I would all put within captains and inspectors, only, by the way, until they retire. Then I would actually consider them all chiefs. But remember, you always have to answer to your deputy commissioners.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, there was a time that I considered myself above that, and I don't think so anymore. Our deputy commissioners are who they are. It's Amanda and it's Karen. They are running the show. We can say what we want, but they're the head honchos.
They're the heart of the civilian community. That's where I look at them. And with that, without the civilian community, where do we stand? We really don't have a stand. They help us greatly.
Well, absolutely. And you know what? It's weird, too. It's because within the NYPD, in order to become a deputy commissioner, even if you're a rank-and-file four-star chief within the NYPD, when they go to promote you to a deputy commissioner, you have to resign and become a civilian.
Right.
You have to pull your papers and resign to become a deputy commissioner. That's what shows you how important it is to have that civilian tie. And the two of them, although they don't and they won't always see the way you and I see things, because we're so heavily rooted in our law enforcement background, instrumental in what it is that we're doing, that we want to do, and where we want to go.
We actually couldn't function without them, really, to be honest with you.
I'll be honest with you, absolutely not. And there's many a times, too, I'll be honest with you, even especially when it comes to down south. I know Amanda likes to think of herself as a southern girl. I'm not doubting that Amanda is a southern girl. But Karen is farther south than her in Texas. So Karen is our southern delegate. And if I've ever had to do anything, sending something out to, again, doing a lot of work with Louisiana, really trying to make ourselves a mainstay in Louisiana. She's been instrumental in that. She probably doesn't even realize how instrumental she is because I'll ask her, oh, can we find this out? Can we find that out? And she does. Let me tell you, she is. Jesus Christ, I wish she was sitting next to me on my homicide cases. She is so pinpoint accurate and perfect. But it's instrumental in making us what we are. And, you know, it's because of, you know, just to show everyone what it is, and I have no problem admitting it, I've had, you know, Louisiana more than once, although it's only been aired once, but more than once I've been reached by news stations. Now, hear this. This is pretty impressive as far as I'm concerned. News stations from Louisiana have reached out to me in New York about my opinion on situations relevant to Louisiana law enforcement.
No kidding.
And it's because of her. You know, you could have reached out to anyone you wanted between Louisiana and New York. And there's a lot of people you could have hit up, but I've had these certain two reporters predominantly, but not only, that have reached out to us here in New York and said, hey, listen, Dave, could you give us a statement in regards to, and I've only been reported on paper once, reported on news once, but interviewed several times, and it's phenomenal, and it's because of the roots she has and the work that she's done, the information she's provided that I've been able to use to fire letters off to them, and it's phenomenal. So, and the same with Oklahoma. And the work that Amanda done is indispensable. She is so on top of stuff. I really appreciate it. And the way that the canine group has taken off, Dave, which, again, is solely you. I don't get involved in that at all, other than occasionally I accept an invite from someone, occasionally.
You know, you're our commander-in-chief, and that's the sister panel. You know, it all goes hand in hand. You know, you're the boss. You're the chief cook and bottle washer, so whatever you say goes.
Well, I might be the bottle washer, but that's as far as it goes. Listen. Although it's a Lesmer itself is a corporation, and with a lot of different things going on, trying to accomplish a lot of different things. All we are is a nonprofit recognized by the state. I don't even have federal recognition yet. Again, still waiting on it. Again, we stretch out from East Coast to West Coast, from the North border to the South border. And I have several members from Australia. And as a matter of fact, I got tied into a group with Australia that when their members come over to the United States and they visit New York, they reach out to me to arrange tours to, the Freedom Tower, precinct tours, ride-alongs, and all that other kind of good stuff, which I appreciate. So we have a big following, not huge.
We actually have
a big following
in the UK. I've got quite a few friends that are part of the regular Lesma page and the canine page that are in the UK, and they just love us.
Well, you gotta make sure, I knew we had like maybe one or two people. We have more than that. We gotta let it be known. That's where I think we gotta take our next step. There's another community out there. Might turn a few years to hear it. Don't be stupid. Remember, we're all blue, no matter where we come from. But a very loyal law enforcement community sits in Russia and sits in the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia. Very large law enforcement following. I know through the United States, being in the NYPD, they always wanted to come here and visit. They did. Saw them left and right. Huge fans. We got to try to make out connections.
Don't call New York the melting pot of the world for nothing.
Exactly. But we need to reach out to them and establish a connection. I think maybe that's our next step for reaching our numbers. I can tell you right now, when it comes to Australia, again, it's not huge. We have 17,000 members. Majority of them are probably civilian, by about 60%, 40% law enforcement. But I could honestly tell you I have about 50 or 60 members that are from Australia, and that's phenomenal. And they're not supporters. They're all law enforcement. So if we can increase those numbers and get to other countries, that would be perfect. So keep that in mind.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, do we have anyone else on? Amanda, are you still on? Karen?
I think it's just you and I, my friend.
Oh, Kara's still here.
Okay. Oh, perfect, Karen.
Thank
so listen,
you.
Let's say goodbye to everybody and we'll end this show.
Okay.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much for all the kind words. Definitely feels like a family here, so thank you all for letting me be a part of it. Great show today.
You and Amanda are very instrumental. We appreciate everything you guys do.
Thank you.
I'm curious, do we still have an Amanda on the line? Amanda?
Amanda?
No. Amanda?
No.
She's our silent warrior right now, I think.
Bueller?
Yeah, well,
Bueller?
Exactly, Bueller. She might be chasing around the mascot, who I have not heard in the last few radio shows. But with that being said, listen, Karen, I'm glad to have you online, Dave as well. I love you both. You guys are very instrumental to what we're doing. Take what you're doing as being a small feat or a large feat. It's up to you. But let me be the first to tell you, what you two are doing for Lesma as a group, for the growth of Lesma, the development of Lesma, and the formation of Lesma is actually huge. Don't ever underestimate your role. I appreciate everything you guys do and everything you guys stand for, and I love you both. I do actually consider both of you like family, as I do Amanda, but I won't sing her praise because she's not here. So take your moment to bow. I do love you guys. I love what you're doing. I love what you're putting into it. I love the enthusiasm. I love the dedication. We're all family. You're all an equal part of this. Hopefully soon we can grow to the next stage. We have a few things in the work. We'll know within the next week or two for sure. But either way, Lesma's here. It's not going anywhere for what we have, only hoping that it gets bigger than what it is.
Well, you Karen, know with me, anything that you need
it will.
Was ask.
Well, that's excellent. But I'm going to throw this out to Karen now. Karen, you have me coming to Louisiana. You're going to have, just letting you know. So whatever you plan on doing and setting up, I'm telling you now, I'm coming with my two kids and my wife. We're going to be down there in Louisiana for this this Battle of the Bears meet and greet. Let's see if we can get Eric Potts involved in that. That would be huge. That would be fantastic. And with that, I'm going to sign off. I love you both. I love all the listeners. Thank you very much. I appreciate everything you do. And I will speak to you guys soon.
Everybody take care and God bless.
Thank you. Y'all take care.
Bye-bye.